Shabbat Shalom, and we're going to continue our series on the Lord's parables. This one is going to be about the sheep pen, the gate, the gatekeeper, the good shepherd, and the bad shepherds. John chapter 10. The Lord Yeshua is known for teaching in parables. He taught in parables for several reasons. A parable is a short story that's easy to understand. It's used to explain things that are harder to understand, especially spiritual truths. Parables are interesting, they're easy to remember, and they cause you to think, to reflect, to meditate, to ponder about spiritual truths. And that's a very good thing, to meditate, to ponder, to roll around in your mind spiritual truths. Messiah taught in parables to make the truth clear to those who were willing to hear, but obscure to those who lacked genuine spiritual interest. Why did Yeshua want to hide the truth from those who lacked genuine spiritual interest? For the same reasons he told us not to throw pearls before swine. Truth is an exceedingly precious thing. Truth should be loved and respected, valued. It should not be treated poorly. And giving too much truth to someone who is not interested in the truth harms that person. He hears the truth, he rejects it, and he digs himself even deeper into a deadly hole of error and rejection. And that is not a good thing. If he persists in rejecting the truth, since he now knows more of the truth and has rejected it, his punishment will be even more severe, because to whom much is given, much is required. So not giving too much truth, obscuring the truth from someone who is not genuinely interested in truth, is a mercy to that individual. Okay, John chapter 10. The good shepherd, the bad shepherds. The Pharisees were spiritual elites. They were part of the religious leadership of the nation of Israel in the first century. Most of the Pharisees had decided that Yeshua was a false prophet, and they wanted to kill him. They wanted to eliminate the young, annoying rabbi from Nazareth. In spite of this, Yeshua cared for the Pharisees, and he tried to help them by telling them that they were very wrong about him, and they were wrong about themselves. They needed to reconsider their thinking about him and about themselves. To do this, Yeshua told them a parable about sheep, a sheep pen, a gate, a gatekeeper, a good shepherd, and bad shepherds. Very truly, I tell you, Pharisees, anyone who does not enter the sheep pen by the gate, but climbs in by some other way, is a thief and a robber. The one who enters by the gate is the shepherd of the sheep. The gatekeeper opens the gate for him, and the sheep listen to his voice. He calls his own sheep by name, and he leads them out. When he has brought out all his own, he goes on ahead of them, and his sheep follow him because they know his voice. But they will never follow a stranger. In fact, they will run away from him because they do not recognize a stranger's voice. Imagine an area enclosed by a wall. It has sheep in it. It has a gate. It has a gatekeeper. The good shepherd enters the sheep pen by going to the gate. The gatekeeper knows the good shepherd and opens the gate and allows him to enter the enclosure. The shepherd knows his sheep and the sheep know him. They're familiar with each other. They recognize each other. When the good shepherd calls to them, they follow him. He takes them out of the sheep pen and leads them to food and water. He leads them by going ahead of them. He's out front. He doesn't lead them by driving them from behind. Now, in contrast to the good shepherd are the bad shepherds. They are not the legitimate shepherds of the sheep. They want the sheep, but have no right to the sheep. That makes them thieves and robbers. They want access to the sheep, but don't go to the gate or the gatekeeper. Instead, they climb over the wall of the sheep pen. The sheep are not familiar with them or their voice and run away from them. This is easy to understand. And as happens so frequently, the people Yeshua was speaking to did not understand. Yeshua used this figure of speech, but the Pharisees did not understand what he was telling them. Yeshua knew that the Pharisees did not understand his parable, and because it was so important for their well-being for them to understand it, he explained it to them. And it's a good thing that he did, because we get to understand it very clearly as well. Therefore, Yeshua said again, "Very truly I tell you, I am the gate for the sheep. All who have come before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep have not listened to them. I am the gate. Whoever enters through me will be saved. They will come in and go out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. The hired hand is not the shepherd and does not own the sheep. So when he sees the wolf coming, he abandons the sheep and runs away. Then the wolf attacks the flock and scatters it. The man runs away because he is a hired hand and cares nothing for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep, and my sheep know me, just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father. And I lay down my life for the sheep. I have other sheep that are not of this pen. I must bring them also. They too will listen to my voice, and there shall be one flock and one shepherd." So these are the truths that are harder to understand. Yeshua is the gate. Only those people who go through Yeshua can experience meaningful life in this world, followed by eternal life in the world to come. The way we go through Yeshua is by faith, by knowing he is the Son of God, the risen Messiah, the risen Lord, and then making a serious commitment to follow him and his teachings. Yeshua is the gate. Yeshua is the good shepherd. That means he's the true leader of the Jewish people. And he is the best kind of leader. He genuinely cares for us. He's not motivated by self-interest, but by love for us. This is seen by him leading us from in front, and by protecting us from wolves, and by his willingness to lay down his life for us. Yeshua is the good shepherd. The gatekeeper opens the gate for the good shepherd. God the Father is the gatekeeper. He is the guardian of the nation of Israel. He wants good men to lead his people. And the Father knows that Yeshua, the Messiah, is the very best leader. The Father approves of Yeshua and has given Yeshua the authority to be the leader of the Jewish people. The sheep are those messianic Jews who know Yeshua and follow Yeshua. They know him. They know his voice. They know he's the Messiah and the Lord and the Son of God. They know that everything he has said is true. They have faith in him and his teachings. They are loyal to him and his teachings. They know Yeshua at a deep level, and Yeshua knows them. The other sheep that are not of this particular sheep pen are the chosen remnant from the other nations, Gentile Christians. Yeshua promised that there would be one flock and one shepherd. That means he knew that even though he was sent to the lost sheep of the house of Israel, his message would go to the other nations of the world, and one new man, a new united humanity, people who are reconciled to the three-in-one God and reconciled to each other, and who are under Yeshua's great leadership, would result. And what Yeshua predicted would happen did, in fact, happen. Those messianic Jewish apostles who followed Yeshua, the Good Shepherd, brought the message that alone can save people to those peoples outside the land of Israel. And the chosen ones from every tribe, people, language, and nation have joined us. There is one new united humanity. There is one flock made of many peoples, and one good shepherd, Yeshua. Now, in contrast to Yeshua, the good shepherd are the bad shepherds. Throughout the centuries, even though the Jewish people are the chosen people, and even though we have been greatly blessed with many spiritual blessings, and we should have had the very best leaders, we've had many wretched leaders, false prophets, wicked priests, evil kings. These Pharisees were more of the same. They did not know God the Father. They did not know the Son of God. They mixed truth with error. They were motivated by self-interest. They cared more about themselves than the people they led. They were not our true leaders. They did not have legitimate spiritual authority. That was the situation with the Pharisees, at least the vast majority of them 2,000 years ago. It's been the case of the Jewish leaders of the past 2,000 years since that time, and the leaders of today are more of the same. The greatest need of the Pharisees was to recognize that Yeshua is the Good Shepherd, the Messiah, the Son of God, the King of Israel. Turn to him and follow him. Then they could have been the leaders they should have been. Then they truly would have been a great blessing to the Jewish people. That's what Yeshua was trying to tell these men. And we learn from Luke in Acts chapter 15 that, in fact, later some of the Pharisees did just that there were Pharisees that came to faith in Yeshua, the Good Shepherd. So praise the Lord for that. It's so important to have good leadership over God's people. So we come to our second parable about bad leaders and good leaders. This one is about the landowner, the tenants, the servants, and the son. And it's found in Matthew chapter 21. Yeshua told the following parable during the week before he died. Passover was approaching. Messiah was in Jerusalem for Passover. He was in the courts of the temple. The leaders of the nation, the chief priests, the elders, the Pharisees, and the Torah teachers were there. They were interacting with the young rabbi from Nazareth. They had already rejected him. They had already decided that they wanted to kill him. Yeshua knew there would be very serious consequences for rejecting him and wanting to kill him. He warned these leaders of the nation of Israel about those very serious consequences. And warning people is a good and a gracious thing to do. Listen to another parable, said Yeshua. There was a landowner who planted a vineyard. He put a wall around it, dug a wine press in it, and built a watchtower. Then he rented the vineyard to some farmers, and he moved to another place. When the harvest time approached, he sent his servants to the tenants to collect his fruit. This is easy to understand. Now for the truths that are harder to understand. The landowner is God the Father. The farmers, the tenants to whom the Father rented the vineyard and who were expected to pay the rent by giving the landowner part of the grape harvest, are the leaders of the Jewish people. We continue. The tenants seized his servants. They beat one, killed another, and stoned a third. Then he sent other servants to them, more than the first time, and the tenants treated them the same way. Last of all, he sent his son to them. They will respect my son, he said. But when the tenants saw the son, they said to each other, this is the heir. Come, let's kill him and take his inheritance. So they took him, threw him out of the vineyard, and killed him. This is easy to understand. The servants of the landowner are the good leaders, the good prophets, the good priests, the good kings. God the Father sent them to us, the Jewish people, to lead us into God-honoring living. However, more often than not, we rejected the good prophets, priests, and kings and mistreated them. Some of them we killed. God the Father is gracious and merciful and slow to anger, and was not put off by our wicked actions. Instead, he upped his game. He increased his efforts and sent us even more good leaders, especially prophets. However, we treated them in the same wicked ways. Then God the Father upped his game again to the highest level, to the highest degree. He sent not mere servants, but his son. And the son is so much greater than the servants, the prophets, the priests, the kings who came before him. The son is like the sun, S-U-N, powerful and glorious, which sends forth great amounts of light that make life and sight possible. The servants, the prophets, priests, and kings, were like the moon, much smaller than the sun, and which has no light of its own, but merely reflects the light of the sun. God made it clear to the nation of Israel that Yeshua was his son. The Father enabled Yeshua to do and say things that were so much greater than the things that the prophets, priests, and kings did and said. The Father made it clear to the nation of Israel that Yeshua was his son, and therefore worthy of the greatest respect, obedience, loyalty, love. God sent his son that we might believe in him and learn from him, that he might lead us closer to God and the ways of God, that he might lead us into God-honoring living and salvation. However, the leaders did the same to the son as they did to so many of the good prophets, priests, and kings. They rejected the son and they killed him. There are terrible consequences for that kind of wickedness, that kind of disloyalty and unbelief. Scary Yeshua continued, "Therefore, when the owner of the vineyard comes, what will he do to those tenants?" The tenants that killed his servants and then killed his son. "He will bring those wretches to a wretched end," they replied, they probably being the people that were listening to this parable. "And he will rent the vineyard to other tenants who will give him his share of the crop at harvest time." This is easy to understand. God the Father would judge the wicked leaders who rejected his son. And that's exactly what happened in the destruction of Jerusalem about 40 years later. Many of the people of Jerusalem were killed, including many of the leaders of the nation. The other tenants to whom the vineyard was rented and who did share the grape harvest with the landowner are those men who recognize that Yeshua is the Messiah and the Son of God, men like the apostles. They would become the leaders of a new community, Messiah's community. Yeshua reinforced his teaching by quoting from the scriptures, which Yeshua believed are the divinely inspired and accurate and true and trustworthy writings of God. How wonderful to have the very same scriptures, the very same writings that Yeshua had, along with his divinely inspired teachings as well. What a blessing that is. Yeshua said to them, "Have you never read in the scriptures, the stone the builders rejected has become the cornerstone? The Lord has done this, and it is marvelous in our eyes." Yeshua is quoting the scriptures, and specifically from Psalm 118, the last of the Hallel Psalms, Psalms 113 through 118, that praise God for various aspects of his great saving power. The stone is the Messiah. A Messiah is like stone, strong, tough, solid, enduring. A stone can be used for building And a stone can be used for destroying, like a weapon. Messiah, the stone, does both. He is the stone that the builders, who are the leaders of the nation of Israel, he's the stone that the builders rejected. But God the Father overruled their wicked rejection and made Messiah into the cornerstone, the large and very strong stone used to support a building. What building? The building is the temple, the place where God lives. Not a temple of wood and stone, but human beings in whom God lives by means of his Spirit. Yeshua is like a cornerstone. He is the strongest one who gives salvation and strength and stability and endurance and eternal life to all the rest of us who believe in him. Without him, God the Father could not make us an eternal fellowship in which he lives. Another consequence for rejecting the Messiah, the leadership of the Pharisees and the other, the chief priests and the elders and the Torah teachers would be given to new leaders who follow the Messiah. Therefore, I tell you, said Yeshua, that the kingdom of God will be taken away from you and given to a people who will produce its fruit. Yeshua prophesied, he predicted that the leaders who rejected him would be removed from their place of authority. Their authority would be taken away from them and transferred to new leaders who recognized Yeshua, who would be the leaders of Messiah's new community. And that, of course, is exactly what happened. The kingdom of God, God's rule over his people, is now found in Messiah's community. That is where salvation is. That is where true spiritual leadership is. That is where eternal life and the presence of God is right now. Messiah is the cornerstone of everything that God is building, strong, enduring, giving strength and salvation to and life to all those who believe in him. You want to be part of an eternal fellowship of God the Father, Messiah the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and the chosen ones of all the ages? You need the cornerstone. You must believe in Yeshua, love him, follow him, obey him, proclaim him. A stone can be used for building, like a cornerstone, but a stone can also be used for destroying. Messiah does both. If you reject him, it's like someone who falls very hard against a big stone and gets broken to pieces. Scary Yeshua then said this: anyone who falls on this stone will be broken to pieces. If you refuse to become loyal to Yeshua, he will be like a heavy stone falling on you and crushing you. Scary Yeshua also said, anyone on whom it falls will be crushed. I don't want to be crushed. I don't want to be broken to pieces. I want to have my life built on the cornerstone, who is so strong and powerful and worthy and beneficial, who gives his strength and his life and his endurance to the rest of us who believe in him. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, you've made it clear that having good leaders is so important, so essential. Thank you for Messiah Yeshua, who is the greatest leader of all by far. And thank you for the leaders who serve under him in Messiah's community. Lord, I want to pray for the leaders of Shema, myself included, Rabbi Glenn, Rabbi Jerry, David, Michael, that we would always serve our great leader, Yeshua, well. I want to pray for the other leaders in Messiah's community throughout the world, that you would bless them, help them, enable them to be faithful and true to you and to your word. Where they might be in error, correct them. Where they might be sinning, enable them to turn to you with a whole heart. Lord God, I do admit that there are some bad leaders in Messiah's community, people who are unfit to be in your service. I pray that you might either dramatically transform them or remove them from their place of ministry. Finally, Father, I want to pray for my people, my nation, the nation of Israel, my Jewish people, that you would help them recognize that Yeshua is the Messiah, the Son of God, the risen Lord, the risen Savior, that they would turn to him with all their hearts so that they, the leaders of the nation of Israel, could lead the Jewish people wisely and well into salvation, into true God-honoring living. And if you agree with my prayers, please say, Amen.
Amen.